Good morning.
Good morning.
I noticed today that several people were getting here a little earlier than 11 o'clock, which sometimes, and I'm sure some more folks will be coming in, but it's good to have you this many here this early today. It's good to have you here as we gather for worship on this last Sunday in July. And extend a special welcome to those who are visiting today, and extra special welcome to those who are visiting with us for the first time. We also want to extend a special welcome to Delphine Haldane, who will be providing special music as soloist today during the service. I overheard someone saying, oh, they were already looking at the bulletin and looking forward to hearing some of the music that was going to be sung today. So I want to call your attention to the back page of the bulletin for the calendar, which is, we're in summer mode, obviously, and not a lot of other meetings going on. However, there will be Bible study, I believe, as far as I know, this Tuesday. Also, there's an insert in the bulletin, and we are continuing to receive donations for school supplies. I think there are enough backpacks, and if you want to purchase a backpack, by all means do, but the deacons, and I know at least one church family has purchased some too, so we have plenty of backpacks, but we are looking for the school supplies to go in the backpacks. And if you are out shopping and see a good deal, we encourage you to pick something up and bring it in. There is a bucket over here in the corner that you may place the things in. Also, Marilyn mentioned to me that those of you who are using the large print hymnals today, large print bulletins today, that the first hymn, the chorus did not get printed, is omitted. So if you're familiar with those words, it is, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. If you need those words, you'll have to go to the small hymnal or just hum along as the rest of us sing that can read the words. So my apologies that did not get included in the printed music today. But let's turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 118 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading words from the Apostle Paul as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship, so let us read responsively from God's holy word. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight.
In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons, I'm going to add, and daughters, through Jesus Christ.
In him we have redemption through his blood.
The forgiveness of sins in accordance with God's grace.
Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Our opening hymn is For the Beauty of the Earth, number 776. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together this morning.
Lord,
Let us pray together. We thank you, O God, for your many gifts, the gift of life, the gift of breath, the gift of creation, the gift of family, the gift of beauty, the gift of salvation, and the promise of eternal glory with you. Lord of all, to thee we do raise this our prayers of grateful praise. We offer all of this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May be seated.
Thank you. have an opportunity now to share our celebrations and concerns with one another and spend a few moments in prayer together. I have several people I want to mention, and then I will invite you to share your celebrations and concerns. We want to continue to remember Peggy Blum. Peggy had surgery on Monday, open heart surgery on Monday. She did get to the step-down unit on Friday. I saw her Thursday night and spoke with her both Friday and yesterday, and maybe going to rehab rather than going home. That's not been totally determined yet. It's a slow recovery for her. So I want to keep Peggy in prayer. She continues to slow recuperation. And I know Gail Freeman had hip surgery on Thursday, and he said that she's, you know, 6 weeks.
6 weeks with no weight on the foot or the leg at all.
Right.
Long time.
Which is not unusual for her.
She's doing well. So I talked to her last night, and she said, what about an 18 level right now?
So I want to keep Gail in prayer today. Cindy continues to recuperate, so I keep Cindy in prayer as well. And May is, you know, walking better, so I'm going to keep May. And Marilyn's sister Linda is home now and continues to be doing okay with her eye surgery. We continue to remember the Reverend Henry Fleming, who is awaiting transfer to a Boston hospital for surgery. Also, any updates on Heather?
Snuck out and went to a Tony Campbell or something. Sat in the crowd outdoors. She's in her seventh or eighth day now of an experimental drug. We'll see what happens.
So she is undergoing an experimental treatment. Hopefully it's going to perfectly as well. Also, we do want to keep Lana Cooper in prayer today and her sister Edith, who is here with her. Lucille did pass away this week, and we want to keep the Barry and Cooper family in prayer. No arrangements have been made yet. We are waiting for Dorothy to be able to get to the New England area. So I want to pray for Dorothy, and then as she's able to finish up her details and be able to move here. And just pray for Lana and the Edith's family, the extended family. Lucille was sick for a long time, and Lana was a wonderful caregiver. And gave everything that she could, and still did not want for anything. We want to keep so Lucille's in a much better place now, not suffering. But we do want to keep those who are left behind, that have sadness in their hearts, staying even in prayer. Do you have any requests for prayer, your celebrations or concerns? Meryl?
My neighbor Paul is facing surgery.
Okay. So Marilyn's neighbor Paul is facing surgery, so I'm continuing prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request?
I spoke to Claire last night. She is getting ready to move, but she's not happy about it. But she really doesn't want to go, but she knows that she must. She's really not much able to take care of herself anymore. So I think she'll be moving in September. So she said if anybody wants any donations, call her, because she's got lots of things to get rid of.
So Claire Stevens is planning to move in September to Florida with her son and try to unpack the
packing
boxes.
She has loads of yarn.
Loads of yarn. So if you know anyone that's crafty, use swamp yarn, and Claire would be glad to make donations to. So we keep Claire in mind in prayer. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, and it's the saying that goes. And she does not really want to move, but she realizes physically she's just not able to live alone much more. So we do want to pray later in prayer today. Any other requests for prayer? Vivian?
My sister's going to take the dental exam.
Govatok's taking the dental exam?
Yeah,
to get into dental school. So we're going to keep Govatok in prayer today. She's going to be taking the dental exams test in order to get into dental school. So we'll be going to talk to Betty? Lisa, go ahead. She had an eye implant. Okay, Hickey's daughter-in-law Lisa had an eye implant, so I want to pray for her as she's recuperating from that. Any other prayer requests today? No, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together.
Mm-hmm.
gracious, all-powerful, all-merciful God. We come seeking you in these moments. Some of us have come long distances, and others have perhaps walked just a few short yards, perhaps even, to get here this morning. And yet, Lord, we gather here, seeking your presence in our time of worship, seeking your spirit to be moving among us and within each of us this day. And we thank you, Lord, that we can seek you no matter when, early in the morning, late at night, whether we are happy or sad, whether we just don't know what we feel. We are so grateful that you are always there, waiting to hear from us, willing to respond to our prayers. We just thank you that you are always there, God. I think of the hymn this morning, take it to the Lord in prayer. And Lord, we just forgive us when we don't, when we try to struggle on and carry the burdens or bottle up the joy and not share it with others. Lord, just we pray this day that our times of prayer may be a time of enlightenment, a time of release for us, a time of nurture, that we may be sustained for our prayers, that we may continue living our daily lives. This day, O Lord, we lift up those who are ill. We pray for your healing according to your will in their lives. We pray especially for those who have recently had surgery and are recuperating. Perhaps some are having rehabilitation. Lord, we just pray that through that struggle and painful process that they may gain strength, that they may be able to return home soon and be able to, you know, continue their functions, resume their daily activities. Lord, we also lift up those who are in mourning today. We pray especially for the Barry and Cooper family today, and as they have, you know, said goodbye to Lucille. And Lord, we have heavy hearts for part of it, but we're also thankful, Lord, that you have called her home. She is no longer suffering. She is at peace. Lord, we do thank you for her life, for her generous and gentle spirit that touched many of us in different ways. Lord, we keep her in our memories as we know that you have kept her alive in your presence. We thank you through our faith. We have that belief that Jesus died on the cross, that we might have eternal life with you forever. Lord, that's what helps us sometimes to go on day to day. When we hear of such terrible things going on in the world, that our faith gives us strength to move one day more, put one foot in front of another. Lord, we do pray for those this day who have been impacted and affected by violence in their community. Again, this week we learned of another mass shooting. Perhaps it would have been more massive if there had not been some other bravery taking place, that only two people plus the gunman were killed, but others were injured. Lord, it seems like it's almost a weekly occurrence now that we hear of violence, and maybe even a daily occurrence, Lord. That it's not just movie theaters, but we have to begin questioning, Lord, where is it safe for us to go? Whether it's to our jobs, whether it's to the movies, whether it's to church for a Bible study. Wherever, whenever, whether it's walking down the street or even being in our homes, Lord, we've heard of gun violence taking place and people being injured, being killed, and others just narrowly escaped. Lord, we just lift up our communities and our nation in prayer today and just pray that there may be some sensible way of handling guns, that they may be taught proper treatment by those who use them. Lord, we live in a different culture here in New England than we do in other parts of the country. We realize that. We have different values than other places. Lord, we continue to see that so many people are affected by the improper use of guns. Lord, we just pray that for the safety of those who walk the streets, those who gather for recreational activities, those who gather for worship in worship areas and houses of worship. Lord, we know that people have some beliefs, some vendettas, some mental illness. We pray for them as well today, Lord, that they may not carry out their impulses. Lord, we also think of terrorism today. We hear of thwarts that have taken place. Some people have been removed from going through with plans. Lord, we thank you for those who are in the intelligence positions, that they are going to be able to infiltrate these people and to stop them before more violence takes place. Lord, we just live in a dangerous world. We pray for safety, Lord, not because we've earned it or deserved it, but we just pray for safety for each person, each creation, each person that you've made in your image. Lord, we just thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, who came to save each one of us from our sins and the mistakes that we make, and prepare a place for each who follow him for all eternity. It's in his name that we offer these prayers. Amen.
Amen.
We've worshiped this morning through singing, through praying, through reading scripture together. We have an opportunity now to worship by presenting our tithes and our gifts to God. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering. Lord, we do wait patiently for you As we present these tithes and gifts to you, we ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. It's in his name that we ask this. Amen. Richard Freeman is our lay reader today and will be reading the scripture.
The reading today is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 11 through 22. One in Christ, it's titled. Therefore, remember that formerly you are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you, you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is Paul's word as published in the Word of God, the Holy Bible.
Thank you, Richard. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard from your holy word through the Apostle Paul this morning, words to an early church, a beginning church, a church without such long heritage as we have here, a church of believers that came from different backgrounds, very similar to what we have here. And yet Paul was talking about who Christ was and what Christ meant to them. Lord, sometimes it's good to be reminded of what Jesus means to us, that it may have been a long time ago that we first publicly made our profession of faith. For others, it may have been just very recently. But depending on, no matter what the time frame is, Lord, it's always good to be reminded of who Christ was, who Christ is, and what Christ will be doing for us. Lord, we pray in these moments together that you will speak to us, that a word that may help us in our daily living as faithful followers of Jesus. And we ask this all in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Most of us have probably heard of Christmas in July, and many retailers have had special promotions this month. And whether you view the fact in a positive or a less than positive way, 5 months from yesterday we'll be celebrating Christmas again. If you were asked, what is the greatest gift of all time? You may have to ponder for a while. Several things might go through your mind. An article in last December's edition of The Atlantic suggested several things. Some of these are these: New Jersey, the Trojan horse, the World Wide Web, human freedom, and Jesus Christ. The author stated that what all these diverse items had in common was that they were all gifts. Maybe the greatest gifts in history. So I want us to look at those briefly. New Jersey was given as a present in 1665 by the Duke of York to two royalists, Sir George Caratet and Lord Berkeley. Fortunately, the territory did not remain in their hands and reverted back to the English crown in 1702 and later became part of the United States. Imagine what it would have been like if it had stayed with those two royalists to this day. Little hunk of the United States, not part of the country. Another significant gift was the Trojan horse. It may not have been a terrific present for the Trojans, since the Greek soldiers hid inside the horse and then conquered the city of Troy. But the destruction of Troy led to the foundation of Rome and the Roman Empire, which had a profound effect on Western civilization. And how about the present given to the world by Tim Berners-Lee? It's not a name that maybe comes to mind, is it? We might ask, who is that? He gave us the World Wide Web, says economist Paul Collier. He writes, choosing to make it a public good instead of a personal cash cow. Imagine if that was privatized. The benefits to people around the world have been tremendous. And in this month of July, the idea of human freedom comes to mind, and it's been America's gift to the world. From Thomas Jefferson to Abraham Lincoln to Martin Luther King Jr., freedom for all people has always been the guiding light of our foreign policy. When we're true to ourselves, freedom is what America is all about. And freedom is what Jesus Christ is all about. And as Christians, we would probably say that he is the greatest gift of all. We read in John's Gospel that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. That Son is our God and neighbor connector, our peacemaker, and our wall breaker. And we're going to unpack some of those this morning as we've heard Richard reading from Ephesians. Christ became for us the cornerstone of a spiritual house, one that serves as home for all of us. The Apostle Paul knows Christ's worth, which he describes in lavish detail in his letter to the Ephesians. Writing to a group of Christians who had grown up as Gentiles, people outside the Jewish community of faith, he reminds them that they were once without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth, I think your translation said covenant, I believe that was the same part, of Israel, and strangers, oh, here's the covenant, so the promise, having no hope and without God in the world, didn't have anything, they didn't know that. What did it feel like to be a Gentile outside the Jewish community in Ephesus in that day? That's difficult to say. Archaeology tells us only about so much what life was like for the residents of this Roman city on the sun-baked coast of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. But as we read the letter to the Ephesians, we can imagine what they were going through, feeling hopeless and cut off from God. Paul says that they feel like aliens. We know what it's like to be alienated, to be removed, feel withdrawn and estranged from a community, and perhaps we may even know what it feels like being estranged from God. being an alien from God. Today, alienation can be caused by too much of reliance on technology, as one example. Shirley Turkle, a professor at MIT, believes that social media can isolate us and cause us a lot of harm. She's written a book entitled Alone Together: Why We Expect More from Technology and Less from Each Other. And in it, she talks about how we have so many opportunities to communicate today using emails and texts, instant messages, Facebook, Twitter, phone calls, and Skype. Such light-speed communication is great for making links, which is good. But unfortunately, as we are bombarded by electronic messages and make hurried responses, the content of our conversations tends to get dumbed down. Conversation with depth and meaning, the kind of thing that connects us as humans, often gets lost. Earlier this month, while announcing the Connect Home initiative to provide internet access to low-income communities, President Obama suggested that some teenagers may be a bit too connected. He also stated that he and the First Lady have set boundaries for the use of mobile devices at the dinner table. And he said, there's nothing wrong with everyone in a while putting down the technology or putting the technology aside and actually having a conversation. We find ourselves linked by technology, but sometimes we also, as a consequence, feel alienated, estranged from our community, and perhaps even estranged from God. This is how the Ephesians were feeling almost 2,000 years before the invention of the internet. But fortunately, their lives were transformed by the gift of Jesus, who became their God and their neighbor connector. Paul tells them that their alienation is all over. And now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You're no longer separated. Through the death of Jesus, we are forgiven and restored to right relationships with God and our neighbors. The cross is a symbol of connectedness. The sacrifice of Jesus brings separated parties together. And the cross itself serves as a symbol of this victory. If we just look at the structure of the cross, the vertical beam is a symbol of the new connection between people and God. And the horizontal beam points to the connection between people, Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, one to another. Through Christ, those who were far off and separated by sin have been brought near and united through forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Christ is our peacemaker, Paul writes, and our wall breaker. He says, in his flesh, he has made both groups into one. Christ makes peace between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, between Black Americans and white Americans, between baby boomers and millennials, between immigrants and native born, breaking down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. Hostility between different groups leads to separation. But walls break down when we identify ourselves primarily as Christians, as disciples of Christ, as members of his body. Ethnic heritage is important, but it should not be used to separate us from our Christian sisters and brothers. We should be looking for ways to grow in love, not just for our ethnic group, not just for where we grew up or our native land, but for every ethnicity, for every community. That comes only from seeing Christ as our peacemaker and our wall breaker, and allowing those walls to be broken down. Sometimes, you know, we like to put up walls. It creates a comfort zone for us to separate us. But Christ comes to break those down, to unite us. Paul tells us that Jesus is also the cornerstone of a spiritual house, one that serves as a home for us all after we've been reunited. In him, the whole structure, Paul writes, is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place of God. In this house that Paul's describing, we have access in one spirit to God the Father. In this house, we are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. In this house, we know that we are resting on something solid, upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone, that link that holds everything together, that holds the building together. That cornerstone is Jesus Christ. We live in an uncertain world. My prayer this morning included prayers of that. In this uncertain world, some of generous gifts can be taken away, such as when the gift of New Jersey suddenly reverted to the royal family. We live in a dangerous world in which gifts such as the Trojan horse turn out to be curses in disguise. We live in an ambiguous world in which innovations such as the World Wide Web can be used to disseminate both digital treasures and digital trash. None of this is true with the greatest gift of all time, Jesus Christ. He connects us to God and to neighbor. Christ makes peace. He breaks down walls and offers us an eternal home with God. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving as we grow in love for God and for neighbor as members of his spiritual household. We need to hold on to this gift. It will maintain its value. But we also need to, while we hold on to it and maintain it, we also need to share it with others and not keep the message and the good news of Christ to ourselves. It's too precious a gift, too great a gift to hoard for ourselves. We need to share it as well. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the Apostle Paul and his ministry. We thank you for his words to the church at Ephesus, words that talk to people who were feeling alienated and separated. And Lord, we must confess that many of us at times have felt alienated, perhaps from another human being, perhaps even from you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that Christ came to be that bridge, to offer reconciliation, to show us a way to new relationships. Lord, we pray that we may have open hearts and open minds to accept the gift of Christ into our lives, to cherish that gift, but also then to share it with others, that they too may no longer feel alienated and separated in this dangerous world. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that we have received, and we thank you especially for the gift of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we ask all of these things. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is No Not One, number 611.
Yeah.
God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Let us always give thanks to God for his indescribable gift, the greatest gift of all time, Jesus Christ. Amen.